Good morning. You can tell it's a holiday because I'm up here. Tomorrow's Labor Day, but for your sake, I'm not going to speak about the virtues and have a lesson on the greatness of labor and how it relates to the Bible. I chose to go a little bit of a different route. And so I've chosen, and I hope you'll bear with me in my discussion here, it's about second chances. We touched on it a little bit this morning in class. Chris brought up Thomas Edison, and he was one of the ones I thought about putting on there, but I chose to go a different route, so we're okay. He didn't steal any of my thunder this morning. But our lives have been many times we've thought, if only I had it to do over again. Only I could do that one thing again, or that 10 things, or whatever it was that we've messed up, how many times we've had that thought in mind. It could be about relationships with parents, with siblings, with the cashier at the store. It could be about any relationship you've ever had with anybody. There's some time in your life you thought, I wish I had that to do over again. It could be a conversation. It could be how we did our job. It could be the job we chose sometimes, some days. It could be picking the right players for fantasy football. And those guys aren't here this morning to hear that. So, in fact, one of them's out choosing a team this weekend in Arkansas, I believe. So tonight, when they get back, we can harass them about that. It could be anything you've ever done in life that you wish you could do it over again. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about second chances. We just wanted to do it right. Whatever it was important enough to us that we thought, wish I could do it right. Now, luckily for us, we're very blessed that we have a God, our God, that loves us as much as He does. He's the God that gives us a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a 437th chance, however many chances we need. That's what He does for us. That's how much He loves us. He's willing to forgive us as many times as it takes for us to finally get the point. Because it's on us. We have to take those opportunities. In life, we all get second chances. And I think Abraham Lincoln is the one I chose to go with this morning. Because he's the epitome of second chances in the political world. If you read through his history, he had a lot of failures. He had sprinkled in with a few successes here and there. But he had a lot of failures. Let's go through the list. 1831, he failed in business. And by the way, he was so temperamental as a lawyer that nobody wanted to use him. 1832, he was defeated in an election for the state legislature. 1834, he was elected to the state legislature. 1835, his sweetheart died. 1836, he had a nervous breakdown. This is not going well. Alright? 1838, he was defeated for speaker. 1840, he was defeated for elector. 1843, he was defeated for Congress. 1846, he was elected to Congress. 1848, he lost. 1850, defeated for Senate. 1856, defeated for Vice President. He tried again for the Senate in 1858. He lost. 1860, though. Different story. Ran for President, and he won. And he went on to become one of the greatest presidents in history. He kept sticking to it. And I read something this morning real quick saying, after the 1858 loss, he was just going, oh, my goodness, I'm a miserable person. I have to be the most miserable man in the world. 1860, he stuck to it, and with that election, that changed the course of history for this country. So thank goodness. Most of us would have given up. He had 20-plus years of just defeat. Most of us would have given up. He kept going. He kept moving forward. He kept trying to get that second chance, that third chance. He didn't give up. Now, modern times, I want to spend this in a little different light. I heard a minister years ago, and I'm not even sure where it was. I think it was the old Galveston Church of Christ that I grew up in with my parents. I think. I'm not even sure. There was a minister. He came in as a guest minister. It's one of those times where the church was between ministers, so every week we had somebody else come in or somebody from the church, kind of like we're doing. But there was a guy that came in from somewhere else and talked about Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer is a man that name, fear and people are repulsed by that name, especially in the 90s. Those of you who don't remember, Jeffrey Dahmer was convicted for killing 17 men. He was also accused of cannibalizing the men. It was found, corpses were found in freezers, skulls were found in closets, and there were untold, unspeakable things and acts that he did to the bodies of these people he killed. So this is a guy who committed some pretty heinous crimes. He was convicted of 17 murders. sentenced to over 900 years in jail because Wisconsin didn't have the death sentence. Doesn't have death penalty. So over 900 years in jail. Well, he went to prison, and he was ministered to, and the minister I heard speak at the church talked about how a Church of Christ minister actually ministered to Jeffrey Dahmer. I don't know how many people realize this, but about 8 months before he died, he was baptized. This is a guy that's convicted of killing 17 people. But we have God who believes in second chances, and if the person is willing to really, truly ask for forgiveness, he will forgive that person. And that's one of the great things about God. But we have a Church of Christ minister who baptized Jeffrey Dahmer, and he spent the last few months of his life before he was killed in prison preaching and trying to minister to people. And the minister I heard talk, he said, I don't know if that was legitimate, that's what his mindset was, but that's not for us to judge. God is willing to make that judgment. He knows what was in his heart, and he knows what convictions Jeffrey Dahmer had in his heart. But that is one of the more heinous criminals we've had in the past few decades. And he was willing to take that. And we talk about second chances. The Bible has story after story after story. I know Blake last week talked about Jonah. And the second chance he had, it took getting in the belly of a whale to finally get his mind calibrated a little bit. This morning we talked about Peter in class. Denied Christ three times. So there are many stories, but I want to talk about a few. In the Old Testament, in Genesis 6, verses 9 through... In Genesis 6, okay, we start the story of the flood. This is Genesis 6, the sixth chapter of the Bible. Man already needs a second chance. I know in chapter 1, Adam and Eve need a second chance. But we're in chapter 6. We've grown. We have four people. And God has decided that he's ready to get rid of us again. But in Genesis 6, 9 through 14, he explained, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people. Chapter 6, remember, this is the sixth chapter. I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth, so make yourself an ark of cypress wood. We have already, as man, gotten to the point that God is ready to get rid of us. He's ready to start over. He's picked out Noah and his family to do this process. Luckily for us, he found somebody who walked in his spirit, who practiced what God wanted. And I want to thank God for deeming us worthy of that second chance and choosing that man who found favor with God. Another example in the Bible of a person receiving a second chance. And we're going to look at a person who probably would be considered undeserving of a second chance. And for this, we're going to go to Acts 9. We're going to talk about Saul. All right? Acts 9 talks about his conversion on the way to Damascus. Saul was a persecutor of the early church. He wanted to stop Christianity where it was. That was Saul's purpose. Church is in the early beginnings. He's ready to get rid of it. But in Acts 9, 5 and 6, it says, Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now imagine this. You have a guy who his job, his purpose, is to stop Christianity from spreading. He's out persecuting Christians. He's out bad-mouthing Christians. And now he's been spoken to by Jesus. The man he's persecuting, the person he's persecuting, has come to him and said, Go to the city. You're going to be told what to do. In Acts 9, 15 and 16, later on we read what he was to do. The Lord said, This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So here he is telling people bad things about Jesus, and all of a sudden, he is the lead apostle. He is the one going out and he's telling people. He's changed his name to Paul, and now Paul is going out. And imagine the shock of people to see Paul up the front speaking about how great Jesus is and how great Christianity is going to be. Where a few weeks ago, he was persecuting people doing the same thing. So that's how he went through life. And he did suffer. God allowed Saul to take a chance, let him become Paul. Paul took the gospel to the Gentiles, and despite being shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, robbed, and in prison, he still went on because God was protecting him. God made sure he lived. God made sure he was able to preach and spread the word. And despite all these hardships, he went forth. And that second chance, Paul was able to promote the church. Paul was able to promote the word for all to hear. He was able to promote Jesus and tell how great Jesus was. In the New Testament, we're going to talk about another thing that Blake talked about several sermons ago, the prodigal son. We're going to go to Luke 15, 19, and 20. This parable illustrates how much love can turn in second chances. In Luke 15, 19, and 20, it says, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. His son had taken all the money his father had given him and squandered it. We heard the story that when Blake preached that he went from being rich to being a hired hand, eating with the hog. I mean, it was just bad. He did all that, and the father still welcomed him in. The father still said, "You are my son, and I love you." Looked on him with compassion. That's a second chance. That is love. That is forgiveness. That is the father giving his son a second chance to start over. That's what we ask for. This transitions nicely into my final point. The final, ultimate second chance that we've been given. John 3:16 and 17. We've all heard that verse for years. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." He was the sacrifice. He was our chance for another opportunity. God gave man the ultimate. He gave us the ultimate second chance by sacrificing his Son. And Jesus has spoken on this earlier when asked in Matthew 18, 21 and 22 by Peter, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" What was Jesus' response? "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." I'm not sure if that's right, but you're supposed to forgive and forgive and forgive and give a second chance. What a blessing for us that God has the desire and the willingness to forgive us despite our infinite capacity to mess up. We're pretty good at messing up as men. Just watch the news. We mess up a lot. But God has that capacity to forgive us. We are blessed to worship our God who truly practices what he preaches. He tells us to forgive our brother. To forgive our brother. And he actually does it. He practices what he preaches. And that's a great thing, and that gives us second chances. Our future is not determined by our past. Thank goodness. Our past is the past. Our future is not determined by what we used to do or who we used to be. Take Jeffrey Dahmer, who he used to be, who he became again. Love that our past is not determined then. Our future is determined by blessings and forgiveness that God grants to us. And what we determine to do with those blessings. What we determine to do with those second chances. What we determine. How we determine to go with those second chances that God offers us. I know Dave joked about this morning about me being long-winded, but I told you it's going to be short. Here's the closing point. This is it. Okay? For those of us who found our way to Jesus, we realize at some point we failed in our relationship with God. We failed at some point. When we realize that, we come to God not with a bold list of demands. We don't go to him saying, "This is what I want." When we mess up, we come to him humbly, in a humble spirit of needing forgiveness, needing a second chance. If that's you today, whether you need a second chance by becoming a Christian, or if you are a Christian and want to humbly ask God for another chance in your relationship with him, Please feel free to come forward as we stand and sing.